closely accurate. However, and I want to thank the recording of this podcast for today's show, the Comedy and Sports Attack, brought to you by enlightenedradio.org and the original Dusty Footed Philosopher, our producer, with whom all things go, Mr. John Case. And I am Michael Cuccarini. This is the Sports and Comedy Attack. And today's show, we were just talking about traffic and how much it sucks. Here's what I would say back then when I was addressing the issue of the Springfield bypass. And they said, look, the city planner said, look, this is going to cost you about $10 million. And they were like, $10 million. You know how much it ended up costing them in the long run when they had to do it? $24
billion. Oh, darn. Zip, zip, zip.
But they had to bring back the city planner guy who originally designed it because nobody else knew what the fuck they were doing.
Print some more money, will you? Just print some more.
Get that printer hood up there, son, and let's just get on that, shall we? Listen, I got a 3D printer. I know exactly how to make this money.
Yeah, pretty. The problem is that when you print that money, it goes into there's an account, and you think you can ignore it like a whole nation, and you find out 50 years later that no, you can't. If you don't pay your debt, nobody's going to loan you money again.
I always try to tell people it's a lot like what Oddball said to the German in Kelly's Heroes. Hi, man. Do you know how much money is in that bank, man? Why don't you turn that German tank around and blow the door off so it can all go home?
Yeah, exactly.
And the German did it. He did it. He was in on it.
Was Telly Savalas in that movie too?
I don't. I think he was in the other one, in the Magnificent
Seven. Lee Marvin and.
No, that wasn't Kelly's Heroes. Because that was Don Knotts was
Clint Eastwood, right? Didn't it have Clint Eastwood in it?
Yes, Clint Eastwood was Kelly.
Yeah, so who was?
And it had Gerald O'Connor as the general, Archie Bunker. You know, get the hell out of the way. We got the game on here.
Right.
When he was listening to the guys attacking, they thought it was some kind of strategic move, and it was just to rob a bank.
What was the name of the film, though, with Lee Marvin and...
That may have been The Magnificent Seven.
No, that wasn't
The Magnificent. It was something else. Shit, I can't remember. That was a good movie, though.
It was The Devil's Brigade. That was a different one.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
Well, we'll think of it later, you know. But anyway.
It'll pop into my head. You know, it's like these things do
Charles
these days.
Bronson was in it.
Yeah, and it's like these things these days. I think about what we're saying right now, and then like I'll be reading or something later on, and I'll go, oh, that's what it was.
And the guy who played Yellowstone Kelly, he was a giant of a man, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah, big, gigantic dude. Yeah.
Oh God, yes.
Like the guy that plays Jack Reacher right now. The guy that my God. Big you see guy. That guy? You see that guy? He looks like he should play pro ball.
I mean, really?
He looks like he's either a power forward in the NBA or a defensive end in the NFL.
They're either going to have to give his co-actors, you know, to stand on little heels or something, because they look like midgets around him, you know, and it doesn't look right, you know. And then when he talks to a girl, he thinks, oh, he's just like, what is this? Like a, you know, King Kong and Jessica.
Yeah, this is kind of creepy. Yeah, you're like, this is a bit creepy here. What's he dealing with the cheerleader? Like, put the cheerleader down, man. Come on. That's not cool, dude. Put her down. That's wrong. Stop it.
Anyway.
You realize, though, afterwards, like the actress that played the cheerleader is older than him.
Yeah. Oops.
Whoops. Sorry. Yeah.
Anyway,
perception, my friend, perception. All right, let's talk since we're in season here. We're in this second straight week of In some cases, the third. We're in the second week of the NFL, technically speaking. The Washington Commanders had to go to Denver to play in the Mile High City, and they were losing horribly. They were not able to stop Russell Wilson, and the Denver offense was just having their way with them. And then somewhere there about the second through the second quarter, they went, wait a minute. All the coaches put their foot down and said, this is not fucking happening again. We're not doing this shit again. You go kill that guy. And that's what they did. They they started to come back. It was, I think the final score was something like 34 to 28 or something. And it was in pretty dramatic fashion. And I got to give their quarterback, Sam Howell, a lot of credit. I don't normally do that. My wife actually believes he's not a starting quarterback. She doesn't think he's good enough. But, boy, he was good enough. He brought that team back. He threw one bomb that was just the only place he could put it. Now, I will say this. Now, maybe it was closer. Maybe it was like 31 to 30 or something, because they scored on a Hail Mary. It was like 5 seconds to go in the game. Russell Wilson threw a bomb. It got tipped around. And anybody that's ever been involved in the tip drill, this goes back to my day. When I played corner in high school and safety, you knock the ball down. You don't tip it up in the air. Goddamn Commanders, guys, tipped it up in the air. So, of course, Denver grabbed it in the end zone. 6 points. All that while the time ran off the clock, and all the Denver fans are like, yeah, we're going to tie this game. We're going to make a 2-point conversion. And they didn't. We stopped them. We stopped them on the 2-point conversion, and that's what won the game. But you know what? In the NFL these days, a win's a win's a win, okay? I got to give the New York Giants a whole lot of credit. They were down 28 to nothing.
Yeah.
In the first half in Arizona against the Cardinals, and they came raging back and won in the fourth quarter. And that was exciting. And that was exciting. And then also, too, the Nationals actually were playing in Milwaukee. And they got to, I think, the top of the 11th inning. And they went to extra innings, and they ended up winning 2-1. So that was a good game.
Go back to the Arizona thing.
With New York, with the Giants?
Well, when they come out at the second half and just, you know, turn a 28-point deficit around, right? And that's...
Right.
That's extraordinary. But my question is that, I mean, something happened to them where they decided to do something different, or in the other halftime locker room, you know, it was revealed that the quarterback's wife was doing it with the fullback, and a complete loss of morale devolved the whole luxury. When they came out, they were no longer able to play
the game. That did not happen. Stop that. It was the coach. Anyway, no, I'm kidding.
Okay.
It was the coach's wife. No, nothing happened. what happened is what normally happens in the NFL now. There are teams that come out on the field, and occasionally they will make adjustments. And people can say what they want to about a 2-3 touchdown advantage. If there is more than a quarter left in a game, and a team in the NFL, I don't give a shit, pick any of them, are ahead by, say, 2.5 touchdowns, say a touchdown and a field goal. So we'll spot them, 17 points? Say I'm up 17 points and I'm going into the third quarter, and that defensive coordinator over there went, oh, I see what the offense is doing. They're pulling their guards. They're pulling both guards out this way. They're pulling anytime they move in position their tight end here, both guards are going that way towards the tight end. So what I do is I radio in to my linebacker and say, look, if that asshole's gonna vacate, if he's gonna move, I want you blitzing in those holes right there. every goddamn time. Every time you see that tight end over the left side, you go in at an angle over the left side. Boom, right in where the guards, because both guards are going to come out and they're going to pull that way. We know that by watching them. So let's beat their ass with that. Let's take what they did to us and make it our thing. And that's what's happening. It's just a chess match of defensive and offensive coordinators all the time. Now, Eric Bieniemy for Washington kept telling Sam Howell to keep the faith, bro. Just keep doing what you're doing. Calm down. Sam was a little overly excited in the first half, wasn't quite accurate with the ball. Got to where he started to really hit shots like out passes, seam passes. He started to really throw back shoulder fades, and everything was starting to become more and more accurate and clearer. And I think the game actually slowed down for him for the first time. I don't think that first game he was ever really in that first game. He was kind of here. It was like fits and starts. You know, he was kind of doing good on one series, and then something would happen. And he was kind of doing good, and then something would happen. This game, he just was relentless, man. He was relentless. The offensive line figured out that they can run block. As you beat a team down, that they're called body blows. John, I know you're familiar with body blows. In boxing, they talk about hitting the body, and the head will fall. Because the arms get tired, you can't protect yourself anymore, and then bam, right in the face. Okay? That's kind of what an offensive line does these days to an opposing defense is they beat on them and beat on them. Now, you may have only gotten a yard and a half or 2 yards in the first quarter. That same running play, if you run it in the fourth quarter, you're like, holy shit, we're getting 8.5, 9 yards every time we run the goddamn ball.
Right, exactly.
Because those guys get tired. Those are body blows. They build up after a while. That's why it's important to have waves of defense. Like you can have three linebackers go in and then two linebackers come in and replace them, and you got a whole different defensive line. They changed their defensive line. And I will say this. Watch out. I said this last year. I was wondering if he was like maybe a hothouse flower, or they, you know, he wasn't happy with his contract, or Chase Young, the defensive end from the area, kid from the area, played for, I believe, Ohio State. Chase Young changed, was a difference maker in this game, because I saw him absorb two offensive linemen. And when I say absorb, I mean this guy's like 6'5", 265, 275 pounds of nothing but muscle. And when he grabbed the hold of the guard and the tackle and shoved them both, it gave his guys sweat, drawn pain, are coming around the corner. They don't need to fight these two because Chase has got him. Bam!
Wow.
I mean, he just knocked the shit out of the – and then Russell Wilson couldn't figure out where to go. They sacked him, and it was the strip sack fumble.
And let me ask you a question. If you're 275 pounds of solid muscle and then you lead the game
– Well, let me – as somebody who's 275 pounds and solid muscle, let me just
– Well, yeah, how do you do it? You know, I know. I mean, how do you keep from like just – when you don't have that level of activity – I think
it's so ingrained in you, because that's a 24/7 job. You know, it used to be that it was a seasonal job. It's not anymore. It's not. Basketball, baseball, any professional sport is, you can probably get away with taking a month, maybe a month and a week off, and that's it.
Otherwise, you're conditioning all the time.
Oh, it goes away. It just completely goes away. And they talk about football conditioning is a little bit different than regular conditioning, because you're expected to be just as fast as you were on the last play as you are on the play in the fourth quarter. Yeah. If you're in the first quarter, you've got a lot of speed and you're coming up field and strength and you're demonstrating that in that first quarter, that's fine and dandy. It's like – AKA the guy who plays for the Cowboys, Micah Hyde. I swear to God, I haven't seen any of the likes of him since Lawrence Taylor. Micah Hyde is freaking scary. Okay, I'll just say that. Chase Young is pretty scary. When you watch Micah Hyde play, you're like, nobody ever touches him. Because he is so big and so fast and so strong. He just moves right through the line. Gone. I mean, the tackle was like, what was that? The tackle was like getting in position to block him. And by the time he looked up, the quarterback was down. So that guy's going to be a problem for anybody they play, the Cowboys play this year. Micah Hyde is just really, really, he told everyone at the beginning of this year, this is my year.
And yeah.
So far, he's been right. He's been accurate. I think he's forced two fumbles, had three interceptions, and this is in two games. He had almost a block punt, six tackles, four sacks, four forced knockdowns. He's just everywhere, man. He's just everywhere. Wow. Yeah, and the scary thing is even if he doesn't come in and blitz the quarterback, you got to worry about him covering anybody because he can cover wide receivers. Defensive ends and linebackers should not be able to cover wide receivers. So I hate to kiss the ass of the Cowboys, but that guy's really good.
Wow, cool.
So yeah, they're going to have to figure. You know, I mean, the thing is, though, is there's always a way. There's always a way. Even Lawrence Taylor will tell you. Back in the day, Joe Gibbs got so sick and tired of Lawrence Taylor beating the shit out of his team. He got so tired of it. They said, all right, that's it. We're going to hit him with a fullback, a tight end, and a tackle. We're going to not just double team him. We're going to triple team him on every play. And I want each and every one of you, before that tight end goes out into his pattern, I want you to blast this asshole. I want you to hit him from the side, hit him from this side, hit him from the front. Just keep fucking pounding his ass. And by halftime, you could see Lawrence Taylor was like, I've never seen Lawrence Taylor with his hands on his hips breathing hard until he played that one game against Washington back when they were the R word. And he would be like, and I go, that's the first time I've ever seen Lawrence Taylor demonstrate he's a human being. See? Right. And you've got to demonstrate that to the other guys. You got to do the same thing to Micah Hyde. You got to hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him. Now, as far as Micah Hyde goes, he actually might be just a little bit stronger than Lawrence Taylor was. And I know he's a lot faster. I don't know what to do. I don't know.
My dog's barking. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Look out. Lukey!
That must be Ben. Ben's bringing my truck over.
Oh, is he? Wait, oh, you needed your truck.
Well, he's supposed to because I got to go get it inspected. I actually inspected. Like, they didn't put the sticker on. I got to go back and get the sticker.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, a cool green.
Oh, wow. They're usually pretty good about that. They usually don't screw that up.
Something happened. I don't know what it was anyway.
They're pretty good to us, man. They've been really good to us, I have to say.
So I'm going to go.
We've enjoyed working with him, even though one of their guys is gone that we really like, Seth. He was great. But he was gone once and then came back, and now he's gone again. So he was a good guy, though. He kind of – the other folks that worked there have been good to us, too, so I can't.
Yeah, no.
So there's that. And then the Washington Mystics, the ladies, the WNBA, who are in the playoffs – lost, unfortunately, their first game to the New York Liberty in New York. So that was a little distressing. They got a chance to win tomorrow night. If they lose tomorrow night, they're done. They're out. Now, if they win tomorrow night, they can come back to Washington and play one more game. So hopefully they'll win tomorrow night, bring it back to DC 2 days later, and then they can win in advance. If they don't win tomorrow night, they're done. If they lose two nights from there, I think they're done too. So pretty sure this is a three-game series. So we'll see. And everybody's pretty excited about some of the young guys that are playing for the Nationals. So am I. I've admitted that. You know, we've talked about Dylan Cruz. I've talked to you about James Wood. Hi, Ben. Anyway, I'm saying hi to John's son. Did you bring Lukey back in? Did he bring Lukey back in? Knucklehead. John, are you there? Do you want me to just keep blabbering? I'll keep blabbering. It's very funny, though, because two of the announcers made the mistake of calling the Washington football team the R word twice. It was very funny. They keep going, the Washington Red, I mean Commanders. The Washington Red, I mean Commanders. So, with that being said, I think Josh is willing to change the name from Commanders to something else. There's a big upswell, or whatever, if you will, from people who were huge fans of the Redskins back in the day. They'd like to bring the name Redskins back. I don't see that happening. That's not gonna
happen, man.
No, I think they'll be either the Red Hawks. I love the idea of the Red Hawks. That's so cool. Have you ever seen a Red Hawk? They're badass, man. You know, they're up there like looking around for their lunch. And all you're doing is going through the field hoping you're not their lunch, because they're just like strong. They're very strong, very quick, very agile birds. So I would you got another hawk called the Seahawk, which is fine. That's okay. I can still see the Red Hawks and the Seahawks existing in the same NFL. That's all I'm saying.
But what's wrong with, the Eagles, or,
Well, they're already a team in Philadelphia.
Yeah. How about the
Red Bears? The Red Bears.
Red-tailed hawk. I don't know. Like,
it's just the Red Hawks. You don't need
red-tailed hawk. How about something really like a turtle? Yeah, that's not dignified.
That's already taken. Maryland's got that locked up, man. It's the Terrapins.
The Navajos were big into turtles, They said it was turtles all the way down.
Oh, my God. Well, let's think of some names. How about the Goats?
The
Washington Goats. God, that's so stupid. The Washington Sheep. No. Hey, everybody, can we go for the Washington Red Cows? Here they come. The Red Cows, everybody.
Red Cows. All these animals that don't seem cool.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said back in the day.
And yet,
John,
they're feeding us, I mean, what about a picture of a man nailed to a cross? How's that? Oh.
Okay. Notice he said that. I didn't say that. Don't give me a bunch of shit because he said it. I didn't. That was his religiosity bullshit coming in here. I didn't even bring up religion. Although I did say back in the day, don't change the name. Leave the name Redskins and change the symbol to a potato.
Can I read something to you?
That's better, isn't it? A potato?
A potato is much better, but I want to take your mind toward a good view of religion
that
is perfectly, would be a good prayer before every game.
Well, just hold on a minute right there, Mr. Case. You will not besmirch my religion and my
I'm
God
going to.
And my Jesus.
I'm not going to. I'm just going to read one verse, okay?
All right.
There are many people who will say they're Christians, and they live as Christians on the Sabbath day. But come Monday to the coming Sunday, they'll fight their neighbor all along the way. And in the Holy Bible, in the book of Matthew, on the 18th chapter, in the 21st verse, Jesus plainly tells us that we must have mercy.
Mercy, Lord, mercy.
And there's a special warning in the 30th verse. If you don't love God, if you don't love your neighbor, you gossip about him, you never have mercy. If he gets into trouble and you don't do a damn thing to help him, then you don't love your neighbor and you don't love God.
You must love your neighbor as you would love your God.
Okay.
Now reach behind the television set and feel the power of God as it knocks your ass across the living room. Okay. All right. I think somebody said that.
That's my message. I think that'd be a great, very Christian attitude toward your team. Yeah. Your teammates you're talking about, you know, you got to love.
I think they'd all look at each other and go, man, what is wrong with Coach today? What happened? What happened? Coach, did you have some bad sushi or something? What happened? Did you go to Jersey Mike's again? What's wrong with you?
Oh, boy.
Jersey Mike's. I shouldn't say anything derogatory about that place. That place is phenomenal.
I like them. Yeah.
Every time I've ever had a sub there, it's been on point perfect. And they made it exactly the way I wanted it, and it tasted delicioso.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jersey Mike's. I know, Ben.
Well, it's a lot better than that other place called Mike's. I don't know if you've been to Mike's. Subway. Have you been to Mike's?
No.
Actually, our Subway has been taken over.
Well, the one we
had new ownership, new management, and it's supposed to be really good. And right. I said to patients, I said, the next time we want to get some subs, this was back in the winter here, like last year. I said, the next time we want to get some subs, let's try and let's give them another shot. Because we had ordered food from there like 5 years before, and we were so pissed off that we called them when we got home and said, this is not our order. You got the order wrong. Everything on this sandwich is wrong. You suck. I hate you.
Oh, God.
So that's how bad it was. And we were like, we'll never go. And we hadn't been. We hadn't been in 6 or 7 years. So we thought, let's give it a shot. Because there's new management, new ownership. And we went in and it was actually tight. It was really well done. They did exactly what we wanted. I got exactly what I... Now, the taste was okay. It wasn't quite as good as Jersey Mike's, but it was close.
Okay.
So yeah. I was pleasantly surprised. I was. Congratulations to you, Subway, here in our area for stepping it up. Good job.
And this is a new owner, a new franchise owner that took it over.
I believe so. Yeah, they bought it from the old. Yeah, they bought it from the other folks who had owned it before. So.
It's not in the best location, is it? It's you know.
Well, you know, it's
traffic. I guess there is. You know.
It's right there by the pharmacy. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's right there on the corner of a main route when you got our little bypass goes through it. So
you're going to get your pills.
Yeah. And you're across, the dollar store is there, but you are across from the nursery and where all those great flowers and all that stuff is. People that do a lot of gardening outside are always going. So,
yeah.
It's that's a good
thing. I heard the dollar store is no longer a dollar store because they had to raise their wages. Nobody would work for him.
Well, I'm hoping I had heard some news this morning that Ford has actually they went once and now they're taking another shot at it. There's another meeting on Monday. The folks from Ford seem to be leading the charge. They're pushing the other two companies to come up to their level in terms of pay. It's not going to be what the union requested, but it's real close. So
is that the news leak this morning?
Yeah, that's what I had read this morning. The union did not, as they have done before, they immediately come out and say pretty, what's his name? Craig
John Payne.
Payne?
Sean Fain.
Fain, that's it, Fain. I love that guy. He's right. He's been coming out and saying this is bullshit each time. And this time he said, we're pretty hopeful that this time around might work. So they're not going to get what they want in retirement. That's gone. Okay. I know that that's not going to, I don't think structurally that can happen. But I think they can get what they want in terms of hours, in terms of starting pay. Because right now you've got people who've been considered part-time for 8 years.
That's the two-tier thing, yes.
That's exactly, and they keep them on a lower tier so they don't have to pay them as much, which is horseshit. You and I know that's horseshit. Yeah. So
two people doing the same job for half the pay.
It used to be 90 days. It used to be 90 days, and then they turned 90 days into 6 months, and then nobody was looking, and they turned 6 months into years.
Yes, they have.
Which is bullshit, okay? You got to pay people when they get past their 90-day trial period. Pay them what they're worth and give them their goddamn benefits, you stupid-ass sons of bitches.
What was the news source this morning? You were
That was from... gosh, dog it.
CNN or
no, it wasn't CNN. It was CNN after, but it broke somewhere else.
Okay.
Like, what is it? The Guardian. I'm sorry, The Guardian.
Oh, The Guardian. Oh,
I think
okay.
The Guardian broke it and then CNN picked it up. So,
yeah.
Pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty cool to hear right away. Going into our first week here, that the company's like, okay, you know. So they know, the company knows that I think that the union's got them by the short hairs.
Well, and I think Biden did his bit, the right thing. He gave a moral support the union morally, you know, basically. Well, on their basis,
he said quite specifically, he goes, nobody wants a strike. I don't want a strike. However, these folks deserve to get paid what they deserve to get paid, and that's what they're waiting on. I think the management's made quite a bit of money, and I think that they should share the wealth.
So, anyway, I know that from my friends that the administration was working behind the scenes. They really do not want to strike, actually, you know, but Biden has done it the right way, as far as I can tell. And also my friend who works in Ford there, and we've had him on the radio before, Steve Nofke.
Right. Yeah. I'll talk to him.
You know, he says it's looking, you know, like the company's moving. They did the rolling strike thing. And normally, you know, a company's defense against a rolling strike is to lock you out. So you can, you know, break your strike fund before you just do so much damage to us while we're still paying you half the time.
Look, John, I am the giant head.
Yeah, right. Oh,
you are. The giant head has spoken. Well,
it's hopeful.
We're not supposed to take on these labor issues now.
But that's, yeah, you know, if the auto workers lose, we all lose.
You know what? You're right. And I think if the writers and the actors lose, we all lose.
We all lose. I agree.
I think the writers should get what they want. Now that's coming down to the wire. That's actually the writers are I read a thing in a chatting thing that I'm on, one of the writers said, retired guy, said, who's actually active now, and I've worked with him before, said that he felt as if, and I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want anybody to give him any shit, but he mentioned that he felt as if the strike for the writers would be over next week, and he feels as if the week after that is when the actors will get everything done as well. They think it'll happen in the next 2 weeks.
Well, it's important because if labor comes out of these battles in reasonably good shape,
it has to.
But nonetheless, a major, you know, shut disruption is avoided. You know, that's gonna be a mutually beneficial thing for Biden too. And
big win.
And he needs that, you know, to consolidate. The certainty of his reelection.
And then all the unions turn and endorse him. So that's a big endorsement.
Well, that's right.
So.
Well, I mean, and I think that the leadership, the FSA played a pretty smart deal in the early endorsement at the top level. Now, you know, a bunch of the international unions do their own thing, right? I mean, they just because the FSCIO does it, doesn't, you know, that steel workers don't start acting like, you know, saluting anybody. Okay. So,
okay. Hey, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Comedy and Sports Attack. John and I are going on to other issues now. So we're going to talk a little bit. We appreciate you tuning in to listen to us yammer on about football, basketball, and even baseball. And coming up, I'll be yammering on some hockey. That's right around the corner. Again, Ovechkin Oshie, Backstrom, Tom Wilson, all healthy, all coming in for the first time in 3 years, all healthy. Very exciting for all the right. Capitals. So thank you for that, guys. And I want to thank EnlightenRadio.org for having us, and everyone that participates, and we're giving our shout out to our good friend Karen. Sorry about what you're going through, dear. I just wanted to just say how sorry I am. And my wife and I send our hope, and we want to make sure that, as they say, that we keep you in the light. So
all right.
So thank you, John.
But our co-host Karen Valentine, she just lost her mother recently.
She's a real great lady, and you should be listening to her. She's very smart and very funny.
All right. Take care, everybody.
And she keeps John straight, which I can't do.
Everything comes next. Take care.
It does. Bye.